I want you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. Mark chapter 1. And I'm teaching along the lines of being influencers for the kingdom of God. God wants us to be His influencers in the world. Amen? We are to take the gospel of the kingdom into every area of our life. And the gospel just simply means the message or the good news or the information. Amen? In other words, a lot of times we hear, well, go preach the gospel. And everybody says, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, the word gospel simply means a good report. It means information. It means the message of. And every one of us can give the message of what God's done in our lives. We can give people information of what it's all about, and we can declare it. Amen. Give them a good report. So we're to be involved in doing that. And here in the first chapter of Mark, beginning here in verse 14, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Notice he came in preaching, proclaiming, declaring the message of the kingdom of God. He's telling us the information of the kingdom of God. He is declaring and exposing the kingdom of God. That's what he's doing. Now, he goes on and says, "And saying," this is what he said about the kingdom, "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Hallelujah. Notice the message he's given the people is this: the thing that has been lost has now come back to you. Amen. I'm informing you that the kingdom of God is here. Hallelujah. It's right here at hand. It's where you can reach out and grab it. Praise God. And now, the kingdom of God means this. Kingdom just simply, if you just looked it up in the Greek, it means the realm or rule of a king. Praise God. Amen. The authority of a king. In other words, to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. We've already established that Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Amen. But a kingdom is a realm or a jurisdiction of authority and rule, praise God, that a king exercises authority over. Amen. So the Lord Jesus is coming and saying there's a new realm coming back to humanity. There's a new kingdom that's coming to this earth, and it is the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom where it derives the authority of God. In other words, God is going to rule this kingdom. Amen? It's not going to be ruled by man. It's not going to be ruled by the devil or the earth. It's going to be ruled by God. A lot of people don't understand, you know, when they came and took Jesus and put him before Pilate, he said, "Are you a king?" And he said, "Well, you say it." And then he says, "Well, you know, they're saying that, you know, you're not this, you're that." And the same people that you're supposed to be kings want to turn you in. Remember that? And Jesus looked at him and said, "My kingdom's not of this world." Now, a lot of us, you know, a lot of theologians take that and say, "Well, we're not supposed to be involved in the world." That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was saying, "My kingdom does not derive its authority from this world." Amen. My kingdom does not have authority given to it from this world. My kingdom supersedes this world. Amen. I'm not deriving or getting my authority from the world. In other words, they didn't make me king. They can't stop me from being king. Amen. God is the one ruling this thing. My kingdom comes from God, and only God can put up or set down. Amen. And so he's telling us that he's bringing a heavenly kingdom, authority that is greater than the kingdoms of this world, praise God. And so Jesus is saying that kingdom is right here, right at hand. Then he tells us how we're going to get into it. He says, repent. Amen. Now, a lot of people think repent means to come to the altar, snot, cry, bawl, squall, and roll on the floor and tell God how bad you are and get up and leave and feel better about yourself. Amen. But that's not repentance. That's just putting on a show of remorse. Amen. True repentance is you changing your mind and your direction of your life. Amen. It's a different way to think. It's a different way to see yourself. It's a different direction. In other words, repent means about face. Okay? It's really a military term. And when he says repent, quit doing it that way and come do it this way. Quit living for the devil and come live for me. Quit living like a sinner and start living in the kingdom of God. Amen? In other words, change your entire mind. In other words, the kingdom of God has come so your entire persona can be changed. But to change, you have to be willing to change. Amen. I brought the kingdom, and I'm bringing this message and this information to you that God's kingdom, God's realm and rule and authority is now right here at hand. But God's not going to force you into it. You have to make a decision to step out of what you're in and step over into what I'm giving you. Amen? That's repentance. True repentance is a changed life. Amen? Not just a trip to the altar. It is a changed life. I changed my mind. I changed my heart. I changed my life. I turned my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I trust Him. He now becomes my king. And instead of operating in the laws of the kingdom of the earth, I'm now going to learn how to operate in the laws of the kingdom of God. Amen? I'm going to learn how to live for God by following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes on and says this, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, now listen what the Lord does. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now listen, look what the next verse says. They immediately left their nets and followed him. They repented. Amen. They immediately decided, no longer my will, but thy will be done. They immediately said, I'm not going to go ahead and try to do my life my way. I'm going to do my life God's way. Hallelujah. Notice they laid down what they were so they could pick up who they could be in Christ. You have to lay your sins down before you can pick up the righteousness of God. Amen? You have to step out of who you were in the world to step over into the things that God has for you in His kingdom. Remember in John chapter 3 that when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, you know, he's sneaking out by night so the rest of the religious folks don't see him. And he comes to the Lord Jesus, we know that you're a man of God and a great prophet and all this great stuff. He starts, you know, bragging on the Lord. He says, because no man can do the great miracles, signs, and wonders and all the wonderful things you're doing if God wasn't with him. And the Lord straight up just doesn't mince any words. Looks at him and says, except you get born again, you can't even see what I'm doing. In other words, if you don't let God do something in your heart, all your religion, all your knowledge, everything about you is not going to do you any good because you'll be blinded to what I've come to give you. But if you'll be born again, and Nicodemus, of course, you know, he's trying to figure it out in his head just like we would. Now, wait a minute. This is crazy teaching. Born again? Now, how can a man as old as I am crawl back in his mama's womb and get born again? And Jesus looks at him and says, wait a minute. That which is born in the natural is natural. In other words, you were born in this natural world through the natural child. But that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. In other words, your heart has to be born again by the Spirit. Amen? And you have to have a new birth take place in your heart. You have to turn your life completely over to God and trust Him to bring a new life into you. And when you trust Jesus to come into your heart and make Him Lord of your life, then all of a sudden you can see the realm of God. You can see the rule of God. You can see the authority of God. You can see the glory of God. But until you make that decision to step through by faith in Jesus Christ and be born of the Spirit, you can't see it. Amen? And then, of course, the Lord goes on in that third chapter, and He says, listen, for God so loved the world. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't just come for a part of the world? If He had, it might have not been the part you were in. Amen? But God so loved the world, all of us, no matter what your mess was, God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. How do I get that everlasting life? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting, turning my life over to Him. Amen? And the next verse in John 3:17, I believe, is just as great as verse 16. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Amen. Listen, folks, the gospel of the kingdom is not a condemning gospel. It is a liberating gospel. Hallelujah. It's not a message of you nasty sinner need to get saved. It is a message that if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, but has now imparted to us and committed to us a ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. That's the message that Jesus came to give. That's the kingdom of God. And so He's preaching this. And so then He looks to them, and I like the Amplified in verse 17. He gives them three things He's looking for. And if we're going to be kingdom influencers, we have to have these three things operating in our life. Number one, let's read verse 17 in the Amplified. And Jesus said to them, come after me and be my disciples, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Notice you can't make yourself a fisher of men. Jesus has to make you a fisher of men. You can say it like this, and I will make you to become influencers to men. You can't make yourself an influencer. Only God can make you an influencer. How do I get to that third part? Number one, Jesus said, come after me. What's that mean? That means pursue Jesus and his ways with passion. Nothing is going to stop me from coming after Jesus. I'm going to pursue him with my life. I'm going to pursue him with my heart. I'm going to pursue him. Don't get in my way. Don't try to get me out of the way. I'm coming after you. I'm not coming after sin. I'm not coming after that junk that had me in bondage. I'm coming after Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pursue him with passion. I'm going, see, to come, if I say, hey, Joe, come after me, and he stands there and lollygags around, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to think, well, he don't care if he comes after me or not. So I'm going to look around here and say, hey, Pam, would you come after me? I'm looking for someone that whenever I say, follow me or come after me, they jump up and say, yes, this is not a job. This is not a chore. This is not somebody trying to dictate to me. This is a privilege. I get to pursue Jesus with my life and everything is in me. And your attitude is, I'm coming after Jesus. He is the most important thing in my life. And I'm going to pursue him. How right on was the song, I'm desperate for you. That should be us, because we are to come after you. We are to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ with passion in our hearts and lives. That's the first thing. Because if you don't pursue him, you're never going to be where he's at. Amen? See, I have to come after him. Now, the good thing about coming after him is this, he's always leading the way. Amen? How many of you know it's a good place to be behind Jesus is not a good place to be in front of Jesus? Amen? I'm coming after him. I don't want him coming after me. Amen? And so I'm going to pursue him with all my heart. What's the second thing? He said, be my disciple. Well, I looked up the word disciple. You know what the word disciple in the Greek means? It's a learner and a follower of the teachings of their leader. That's from W. Vine's Expository Dictionary and New Testament Greek words. He said, a disciple is a learner and a follower of the teachings of their leader. I'm not just a learner, I'm a follower of the teachings of Jesus. It also means this, an imitator of their teacher. Ooh, hallelujah. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, pursue me, come after me, follow me, and be a learner of my teachings and a follower, a doer of my teachings, and learn how to imitate me in your life. Woo, glory to God. Come on, somebody should be shouting right now. I've almost preached me a lap around this church, amen? Come on, Jesus is inviting me to come after him, to follow him, pursue him with my life, and if I do, he will teach me how to be an imitator of him and do his works. Hallelujah. How many of you here would like to deal with your problems like Jesus would deal with your problems? Amen? He's inviting you to come into the kingdom of God and follow him right into the kingdom and then learn the things of the kingdom and let the kingdom of God begin to work in you to the point that you are imitating Jesus in attitude, in actions, in words, in deeds, how you live, where you go, what you do. That's a disciple. That's certainly a whole lot more than a Sunday morning churchgoer, isn't it? That's somebody who's in all the way with Jesus. Amen? That's somebody who is excited about being a part of the kingdom of God. That's not somebody that's straddling the fence. Well, you know, a little, you know, booze, a little worldliness, a little this today, and then I'll pray tomorrow. No, no. I'm pursuing Jesus. And if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, I'm going to learn how to deal with today's problems. I'm going to imitate Jesus on how he would do it. I'm going to let him teach me. Amen. And you know what happens then whenever you begin to pursue the Lord with a passion? You want his word. You want his life. You want his way of doing things. You want to imitate him, live like him, be like him, treat people like him, and see his results in your life. He makes you to become, the third thing, an influencer of men. Amen? Do you see why you have to have the first two before you can have the third one? Because see, as I'm pursuing the Lord, and the Lord is teaching me, and I'm learning from Him, and then I'm applying His teachings in my life, His teachings then cause me to become like Him. Amen? And now I'm imitating Him. I'm mimicking Him. I'm acting like Him. And because I'm following Him, living His Word, acting on His Word, and seeing Him operate in my life, all of a sudden now my life becomes an influence to other people to want to know, how in the world did you change your mess into the message that you have right now? Hallelujah. And how many of you know, if you're coming after somebody, it isn't one step. It's a bunch of steps. Amen. How many of you know the first step will probably not be as good as the 20th step? Anybody here besides me seen a lot of change in your life from step 1 to step 10? Amen. And then step 10 to step 50. And you look back and over the last 49 steps, you go, oh my God, who was that guy? And then when you hit the 100th step, you're going, wow, this is good. Hallelujah. And then you're over here at about 250 and you're going, come on, people, look what God is doing in my life. I mean, you look different, you smell different, you talk different, you act different. And people look at you and go, what is going on in your life? All of a sudden, you have become a fisher of men. All of a sudden, you have become an influencer for the kingdom of God. Amen? And you see, you got to understand something. As we continue on, I got a few more messages we're going to look in. So you want to be in every service. Hallelujah. Because this is the thing. Jesus has delegated His kingdom authority to you and me. And He's introducing that delegated authority to us right here in verse 17, because He says, as you come after me and pursue me with all your heart and become my disciple and learn of me and follow my teachings and begin to imitate me in your life, then I'm going to delegate to you the right to go out and influence others and bring others into this walk. And when they see it in you and hear it in you, they're going to want to have what you got. And then I'm going to build my kingdom through you. I'm not going to build it because you're the greatest preachers. I'm going to build it because you become wonderful disciples and followers of my teaching. And you let me transform your life and make it a testimony to others. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've messed up. Hey, every one of us, when we look back over the steps we're following Jesus, we can see some places where, you know, the steps were doing really good and it looks like all kinds of crazy stuff. That's where you hit, fell, rubbed your nose in it, rolled around a little bit. Amen. Then you see, you know, after about 5 or 6 feet of just jumbled up junk, there's another step. And then there's another step. And you look back and you go, oh yeah, I remember that. That's when I tripped up. And you know, it's a great, after you see all that mess laying there on the ground and it's just all jumbled up, there's just not your feet prints there. You got two other steps and one's facing back to you. You know what those facing back to you is? When Jesus came and lifted you back up. And His feet are facing this way, but your feet are facing this way. And every time in your life that you messed up, you'll see feet print that are facing the wrong way. They're facing back the way you were. Why? Because Jesus stepped in that mess, lifted you up and said, now come on. And pulled you right through because of His grace and mercy and love for you. Come on, church. Come on, church. Why? Because it's not God's will that you live in guilt and condemnation because you messed up. Because He knows you're human. Amen? He knew these guys were human. Dear Lord, I mean, you need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially Matthew and Mark, about and Luke. Oh, Lord. I mean, you know, they're just blunt honest about the crazy mistakes the disciples made. Amen? I mean, they're fighting to see who's going to get to be the top dog in the kingdom. They're fussing about not taking food. Peter gets in trouble because the Lord tells him to go out after he's done cleaning his nets and put them away, and he don't want to get his good nets out, so he grabs some old rotten net and goes out, and he starts, you know, and it starts breaking, and then he has to come. Jesus said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. In other words, he wasn't sinful, folks, just because, you know, he was messed up because he didn't believe that there was any fish out there. I'm a fisherman. You're a preacher. I know there's no fish. We've done fish. It should have been fish. There's no fish. I done cleaned my nets. I've been working all night to get them clean. I ain't going to do it because we're going to have to go back out tomorrow evening. But nevertheless, it's your word. Andrew, grab that old rotten one there, because we don't care if we get it back or not. And they throw the old rotten net in, and it starts breaking because of all the fish. Then Peter has to get the other guys to get the good nets out there so they can catch them all. Anybody here ever gotten to the place where you thought you knew more than God? And you found out you didn't? That's when he had to turn around, pick you back up, straighten you up, and get your feet back in the path. Amen? So the disciples, they were human just like you and I are human. But you know what? God used them to change the world. You know what God wants to do? He wants to use us to change our world. Amen? To change the world you live in, to change your sphere of influence. He wants you to be a greater influence for the kingdom of God in your realm that you live than the world is in your realm. Come on, I'm going to prove it to you. Praise God. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, the first chapter. I want you to see something here. Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 12. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. It brings it out real good. He says this, giving thanks to the Father. Notice that? We ought to be thankful every day to our Heavenly Father. Why? Who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. Notice this. He says, you ought to get up every day and say, thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance that Christ Jesus has brought to us. Hallelujah. I can partake of your blessings. I can operate in your kingdom. All the things in the kingdom of God are available to me. I'm qualified to have this. Then he goes on and says, the Father has, now listen, here's why you get it. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of sins. You know what he's saying? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ going on Calvary's cross and operating in his grace and mercy and the plan of redemption, Jesus Christ now has, through that redemptive plan and through his blood, brought you out from under the authority and the dominion of Satan and the kingdom of darkness, and now has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. For God didn't just deliver you from the darkness, he drew you to himself out of that darkness and transferred or conveyed you over into the kingdom of God and made Jesus your Lord. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means now I'm not a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. Oh, yes, but Pastor, we're all sinners. No, we're not. You might be, but I'm not. You mean you never sin? No, I said I'm not a sinner. See, religion will tell you we're all just old sinners saved by grace. No, no, no. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You were in the kingdom of darkness, but now you're in the kingdom of God. You were a child of the devil, but now you're a child of God. The devil was your father. Jesus said in John 8, he said, your father is of the devil. Amen. You have your father, the devil. And they were religious people. So if you don't know the Lord, your daddy is the devil. But if Jesus is your Lord, God is your daddy. Hallelujah. And you're in his kingdom, and you get to partake of his kingdom authority, his kingdom blessings, and his kingdom rights. Amen? But notice this. He says, you get put into this. God qualifies you, makes you fit or able to partake of the inheritance. But notice who he qualifies that inheritance is going to work for? The saints in light. Now that God's holy people in the light. Now, I got to praying about that, and the Lord brought that out to me. He said, did you notice in the light? I said, yeah. He said, did you notice that it only works when you're operating in the light? Amen. Notice he brought you out of darkness, but you got to get over into the light. How many of you know you can't operate anything you can't see? He says, you have to be enlightened as to what your inheritance is before you're ever going to operate in it. If it's dark to you, you can't operate in it. But the moment you let light shine on it, you can start operating in it. Amen? The people that are operating in the authority and the blessing and the inheritance of the kingdom of God and being kingdom influencers are those who have allowed God to bring light into their life and show them who they are and what they have. Amen? How does God do that? Well, the 119th Psalm says, the entrance of your words giveth light. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. In other words, now that I'm a Christian, guess what I need to do? I need to become a disciple. Amen. Because you see, I can't walk in my inheritance till I become a disciple. Now, what did we say a disciple is? He is a learner and a follower of the teachings of the leader. Amen. What is a disciple? An imitator of their teacher. What's that mean? That means this. I, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, am a learner and a follower of the teachings of Jesus. Amen? It means I'm an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and teacher. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, that means what? If I'm going to become the third part of Mark chapter 1, verse 17, become a kingdom influencer, I have to become a disciple first. That means I have to get out of darkness into light. Amen. And you know what's sad, folks? A majority of Christians live their entire Christian life living in the dark. The only light they ever got was they're saved and they don't have to go to hell. Saved, sanctified, going to heaven. And that's all they ever walk in. Well, I'm not belittling salvation. Thank God it's the door. I mean, without salvation and getting saved, you can't get anything else. But why stop at the door? Why live your life, well, I'm saved and hanging on, holding out till they get to heaven someday? Why not go ahead and let the Lord now teach you what happened for you when you made Him Lord of your life? If God went through all the problem and all the trouble and all the patience and perseverance over all that many years to set His Word into this world and turn it into flesh and send His Son, and Jesus to go through all that torment and sacrifice to redeem us from the curse and from the dominion of darkness so that we can now be transferred, conveyed, translated, hallelujah, from this kingdom where I'm ruled by unrighteousness, unholiness, ungodliness, sin, and the flesh, till I get conveyed out of that mess over here to God's kingdom where I'm ruled by righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost, and God's authority, and God's love, and God's compassion, God's deliverance, and all the good things it has. But you see, for me to operate in this, I have to learn it. Then I have to follow it. Until I begin to operate in it, and people say, "Who do you think you are, Jesus?" Woo, thank you, hallelujah. I'm not, you know, I'm gonna say, huh? Amen. Because you see, I want people to see Jesus in my life. Amen. And you see, even whenever, you know, the disciples, you know, they get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, even the people that hate them say, they took note, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Why? Because they sounded like Him. They're acting like Him. They dealt with the situation just like Jesus did. And they became an influencer for the kingdom of God. Now, look in Ephesians real quickly. Chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter, is a great chapter. It talks about how we get into the righteousness of God, how we come into the kingdom. And you know, Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God." Notice that you can't make this happen on your own. You got to receive it by faith. You got to receive what Jesus did. You got to let God's grace come in. You see, it takes all the bragging rights away from us. "Well, God blesses me because I go to church and I read His Bible and I pray and I do this and I do that." No, no, no. All you are is a Pharisee. And if you don't know the Lord, you're probably a Sadducee. Amen. Like we used to say, they were sad, you see, because they didn't know Jesus. Amen. Huh? And a lot of Sadducees and Pharisees in the church, because you see, they think they're saved because of their good works and because of who they are. But you see, you don't get saved because of your good works and who you are. You get saved because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and receive His grace by faith and trust that what He did for you is enough. "Not of works as any man should boast." It gets rid of religion. Then look what he says once you get saved. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Notice that? Come on, you got to get a hold of this. You getting this? Everybody wave at me if you're getting a hold of this. He says, come after me and get saved by grace through faith. Be my disciple, learn of me, and then follow my teachings and imitate me because I created you for good works. I have a good work for you. I didn't just create you so you'd go to heaven someday. I created you so that you can move over and start doing works that I prepared before you were even born in this world. Oh, you're not hearing me. God had a plan for your life before you was conceived in your mother's womb. But I was a mistake, but not with God. Oh, you didn't hear me. Well, I wasn't planned. You were with God. Because he knew you before the foundation of the world. And he said, I'm going to recreate you and bring you into the image of my son. I'm going to take you out of the kingdom of darkness. I'm going to bring you over into my kingdom. I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And I'm going to bring you in and be a father to you. And Jesus is going to be your king. And I'm going to make you a partaker of everything I've got. In fact, what you lost in Eden, I'm going to bring back to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to restore you to dominion and authority and power. And I'm not just going to save you and transform you. I'm going to give you a work. I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to give you something to do for me, and I'm going to anoint you to do it. Hallelujah. And I've already planned it. Now what you got to do is follow me and move over into that thing that I've given you to do from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Now how important it is for you and me now to get into the Lord and find that out. Because God has a plan for you, and that plan is going to put you in a position of influence of other people around you, so you can help their lives get changed like Jesus has changed yours. Come on. Amen. Now let's read on. He says in verse 11, therefore remember, see, sometimes it's good to remember, that you were Gentiles in the flesh, that you were sinners in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, or the Jewish people called you unclean, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. See, when you were out in the world, lost, living in the flesh, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. That's who a sinner is. That's who you were. No hope, no covenant, no blessing, no works, no nothing, just existing. Doing it on your own. The devil dominating your life. But now let's read the next verse. But now, ooh, hallelujah. Not when you get to heaven, but now, right now, now, N-O-W, now, in this life, now, on this earth, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, not out of Christ Jesus, in. When you get into Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been now brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has now broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And now look what he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the old, from the two, and making peace. Now listen to what he says, that he might reconcile them unto God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him, here's where we wanted to get, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. See, you're going to have to meditate on that. That tells me that by the Spirit of God, I can walk straight into the throne room in heaven to Almighty God, who was God before there was anything else, and call him Father and talk to him by the Spirit of God. Amen. Glory. Then he says in verse 19, here's why. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. I'm not a stranger to God. I'm not a foreigner to God. And I'm not an alien to God. I'm not an alien to the covenant. I'm not separated from that. For now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the of God and the household of God. Notice what he says. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What am I going to do? I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to come after Jesus with everything in me. I'm going to pursue him, and I'm going to let him make me a disciple. I'm going to learn of him. I'm going to follow his teachings. I'm going to do everything I can to imitate him. Act like him, talk like him, treat people like he would treat them. love my Father like He loved the Father? Amen. Take every day as it comes like Jesus would. And let my light shine to others. Why? Because now I'm going to learn how to live like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19 says, I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. If you go to heaven and go through the records, it will have in the records a place that has my birth certificate. Not the one that was born here on the earth in 1954. I'm talking about the one that when I got born again back there in 1975, whenever I totally surrendered my heart and life to Jesus Christ, my name got written in the Lamb's Book of Life and in the Book of Records. And in heaven, I have a certificate that says I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And that certificate in heaven gives me citizen rights. Amen. I get to do what I want to do with the Lord without condemnation, guilt, or inferiority. Amen? Now, what are we supposed to do? What are to do this, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to build my life on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? And the teachings of the apostles. Somebody said, what? Let's just break it down. And the Word of God. Amen? For me to operate in my citizenship, remember, I've got to do what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1. I've got to get with the saints in light. Amen? What's that mean? Quit hanging out with the saints in dark. Well, I don't believe in healing. Well, we're gonna have to have a problem here. Because you're walking in darkness when it comes to sickness and disease. I want to walk in the light of by His stripes I was healed. I don't believe in that prosperity message. Ooh, maybe we're going to have a little separation here because Jesus does. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I'm going to have to get over here and walk in the light of prosperity with my Lord Jesus Christ because, you see, I want to be a partaker of the inheritance. Hallelujah. And I can't partake of the inheritance if I'm walking in the darkness with you. Well, you know, a little drugs here and there, a little beer here and there, a little booze here and there, a little sex here and there, a little this and a little that, and it won't hurt you. I don't think we're going to be able to walk together here because, you see, Jesus would never walk that path. And I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm coming after Jesus. I'm pursuing Jesus. And, you know, that's dark. And the Lord delivered me out of darkness. Why would I go back into it? So now I'm going to build my life on the Lord Jesus. He's my cornerstone. I'm going to build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In other words, I'm going to get in the Bible and find out what the Lord spoke through the apostles and prophets because that's my inheritance. Somebody says, do you really believe that? Absolutely. You hang around me long enough and you'll believe it too. Amen. Do you think that stuff works? No. I know it works. Amen. You really think the Lord will do that for you? No. I know He'll do it for me. Well, I wish I could believe it like that. Well, if you get in the Word and get in the light, you could. Amen. Remember, you might not know it today. You see, here's the thing. Every step I walk is towards the Lord. And you know what John said in 1 John? He said that in Him is light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. You know what that means? Every step I'm making toward the Lord and with the Lord, I'm walking in more light. Let me take you back again. Have you ever been out just in a dark place and you really didn't know what, and you just kind of stumble around and all of a sudden you see light? And there's not a whole lot of it shining where you are, but just enough where you can see. And so you start walking toward that light. And see, you're walking through the woods and, you know, you're feeling your way. But, you know, after you walk for a while, things are lightening up a little bit. You can actually see the ground. You can see the stuff. And you walk a little bit farther, and things that you weren't able to see, now it's becoming more clear. And then all of a sudden, you walk in the fullness of that light, and you can see everything. Hallelujah. That's following Jesus. There are things that you're going to see 50 steps from now that you can't see right now. That's why the Lord said, come after me. That means keep coming after me. Keep pursuing me. Why? Because the closer I get to what He's wanting for me, the more light shines. The more I can see it. And so I have to just keep walking in it. And the more the light shines, the more I believe it. And the more I believe it, the more it works in my life. Because now I'm partaking in it. Why? Because I can see it. Hallelujah. I can do it now, praise God. It's working in my life. So how am I going to build my life? Real quickly, look in Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans chapter 14. Are you getting something out of this? Hallelujah. Stay with me just for a few more moments. We'll tie this up and we'll finish this segment of it. Praise God. But look what he says in Romans chapter 14. Once you look down here in verse 12, you know, this 14th chapter, he's talking about living a holy life and not living a condemning life, not putting people down because they don't believe just like you, and understanding everybody's on different levels of walk and not everybody's going to just agree with you. That's okay. Love them anyway. Amen. Because you see, here's the thing. I'm not responsible for your walk. I'm responsible for mine. See, the Lord Jesus recreated me so that for good works, which he purposed for my life. It's my responsibility to walk after the Lord Jesus and let him create in me and reveal to me the purpose and the works that he wants me to do. Amen? And it's your responsibility to follow after Jesus and let him open up and shine the light to you to show you the things he wants to do in your life and how to do it.
Yeah, but Brother Huffman, I was going to tell you what, I've done messed up my life and now I've done lived so many years and it ain't going to work for me.
Oh, grow up. Come on. Get out of your pity party because nobody else wants to be in it with you. Amen? And quit living around making excuses. Well, it's too late for me. Joshua went to Caleb. Caleb's 80 years old. He has been hindered for 40 years because of people's unbelief to get his mountain. The man was in his prime. Let's go. I can do it. Well, there's giants over. I don't care. I'll whip them myself. Bless God. 40 years later, he and Joshua are the only ones left of that original group. And they come to where the mountain is that Caleb said he wanted. And Joshua looks over at old Caleb, 80 years old. Last 40 years, he's heard everybody moaning and groaning and crying and complaining and saying what we can't do. But old Caleb's kept his eyes on that mountain. He could see his big house up on top of that mountain looking out over the valley. And Joshua goes to him and says, Caleb, there's that mountain. Yeah, I see it. You're not as young as you used to be. I know it. You know, there are giants in that mountain. That's all right. You think you can do it? I am well able to take the mountain. Get out of my way. Hallelujah. Huh? And you know what he did? He took the mountain at 80 years of age. Age should not stop you from fulfilling what God created you to do. Just ask God to speed it up for you. Amen? But the key to it is to follow him. The key to it is to do it. The key to it is let the Lord make you his disciple so he can move you into that place where now your life is an influence for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so the Lord, and then he goes down and tells us, Paul says, you know, we're going to stand before the Lord someday, so you really need to deal with this. You need to go ahead and live your life in a good way. And then he says in verse 12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. In other words, I'm not going to give an account for you. You're going to give an account for you. I'm going to give account for me. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and he's going to ask me, did you come after me? Did you let me make you my disciple? And did you let me turn you and make you into a fisher of men and influencer in the kingdom? That's what he's going to ask me. He's going to ask me, what did you do about the things that I've asked you to do? Okay, I'm going to have to give an account for that. And so he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. In other words, if you're going to, you know, live your life in such a way that you're not going to hinder anybody else. See, that's being an imitator of Jesus. That's a follower of Jesus. That's a disciple. I'm not going to live in a way that's going to hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. You may not be where I'm at. You may not know what I know. You may not agree with what I agree. But you know what? I'm not going to condemn you, put you down for it. I'm going to try to help you, praise God. I'm going to just live my life. And he goes on and says, I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brothers grieve because of your food and you are no longer walking in love, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't go out here and do things that's going to hinder people's lives. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it, but everybody else does. And the very people you're trying to witness to think you're a hypocrite. And so he says, you need to get in the Word and find out how to live for God and do what's right. And don't do things out here just because your flesh wanted to do it. How are you going to influence others to come into the kingdom of God if they see all this hypocrisy, and it's blatant hypocrisy? You're choosing to do this. So Paul says, you know, oh, I can go drink, or I can go do this, or I can eat here, or I can go there. I'm free. Yeah, but if your freedom is causing somebody else to reject Christ, and they may go to hell because of you, Paul says that's not a freedom. And he says that's not something the Lord himself would do. So therefore, sometimes you just have to ask God to show you wisdom on what to do, where to do it, and how to do it, so that it becomes a blessing and an influence to people to follow God and not a stumbling block to them. Amen? Then he goes on and he says this, therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken. Now, in other words, even though you feel like you're okay, other people are saying it's wrong. Well, I'm not going to be judged by them. They're walking in the darkness. I'm not talking about living a good life, doing what's right in the sight of God. I'm talking about doing crazy things out here and trying to get by with some stuff and doing it because, well, after all, I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong if I, you know, smoke a little dope here and there. No, what about the person that goes out and overdoses because they saw you doing it and thought it was okay? I don't think it's wrong to have a little glass of wine. Yeah, what about the person becomes an alcoholic because they thought it was okay watching you? Oh, he's gone to meddling now. He was preaching real good until we got to this part. Well, you know, saying a little cuss word here and there doesn't matter because after all, you know, we're all just human. Well, what about the person out here that was getting ready to come to church and they heard you cuss a blue streak because you got mad and, you know, and you thought it was okay because, you know. And they say, oh, I ain't going to that church. Man, those people are hypocrites. I talk better than that. See, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, use some common sense in your walk with God. Just because it might not be a bad thing doesn't mean that it's a thing you should do. Is this all right? You getting this? Say amen or oh me, but it's so anyway. Hallelujah. So what does Paul say? He goes on and he says this. He says, for the kingdom of God. Here we are. We come back to the kingdom, haven't we? We've already circled around the mountain, come right back to the kingdom. Now look what he says. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, the kingdom of God is just not things of the world. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he who serves Christ in these things, in what things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is acceptable in God and approved by men. In other words, he says, if you make every decision that you're going to do based on righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, God, it'll be acceptable with God, and people will be blessed. Amen. Amen? Righteousness is right standing with God. In Romans 5:17, the Bible says that if by one man's sin, death came in the world and ruled the world, he says by the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, we're to rule in this life now. You know what that means? If I'm living in righteousness, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk into that situation in my right standing with God, and I'm going to walk in there and do the right thing. I'm going to do something that's going to bless people. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to take authority over the kingdom of darkness. I'm not going to let unrighteousness be a greater influence than righteousness. Now, what's that mean? That means that on the job, my righteousness is going to be stronger than the unrighteousness that's being thrown at me by everybody around me. Are you hearing me? What's that mean? My influence for God and how I live, how I treat people, my attitude and my actions is going to be stronger than the actions of the unrighteous who don't know God. See, we're to be kingdom influencers, folks. That means what? Whatever sphere or realm of influence you're in, you're to take God's righteousness into that realm, and it become a greater influence for what's going on there than that which is of the unrighteous. Meaning what? My speech and actions are going to be stronger than the speech and actions of the ungodly. Amen? Why? Because I don't have to own the place. I don't have to be the head. but I am righteous in the eyes of God. And the kingdom of God operates through me. And the kingdom of God is my right standing with God. That means I can draw from the Lord and bring His influence into that situation. This first happened to me. I didn't know all this stuff back then when I first got saved. I just knew I'd made a commitment to the Lord and I was on fire for God. I remember one day in the football, I played football, I was at East Tennessee State, and we were in the locker room. And I'd give my heart to the Lord and you know, we were having practice. And I can remember walking in, a couple of the guys were talking about a bar that I had frequented with them. This was before Bonnie and I had gotten married. And I remember going to the bar, and we drank together and did stuff. And, you know, there's crazy stuff going on at this place, and they were talking about it. And I can remember I came walking in there, and they were there talking about their night that they had had just a couple of nights before. And all that went on, and they was bragging all this stuff. And I stood there for a minute, and I heard what they was talking about. Well, I just turned around, didn't condemn them, didn't say anything. I just turned around, walked over and got over here and went to my locker. And so one of them looks over and says, "What's wrong, Huffman? You too good to talk to us?" I said, "No, I'm not." "Well, you've been there before." I said, "Yeah, I have." "You did what we did." I said, "Sure did." "What's wrong? You can't talk about it now?" I said, "No, I don't need to talk about that now because I've given my heart to Jesus. I got a whole lot better stuff than that to do." And you know what they did? They stopped talking about it and dispersed and went about and got ready for practice. Yeah. Amen. Then we went out on the field and I knocked the snot out of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I let them know that you'd be a Christian and still put your hand to the plow. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what? I didn't realize it then, but you know what I did? I brought the influence of God's righteousness in there by my actions, not condemning, but by my actions of following Jesus was, and the kingdom of God is greater than the kingdom of darkness. And my righteousness shut down that unrighteous. Now, sequel of the story, I led all three of those guys to the Lord before I left East Tennessee State. They all got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? I was pursuing the Lord with a passion. And the kingdom of God operating in me was greater than the kingdom of darkness that was operating in them. The kingdom of God is peace. In Ephesians 6:15, he says that we're to put on the shod our feet with the gospel of the preparation of the peace. In other words, everywhere I go, I should be taking the peace of God. You walk into a place where there's upset, turmoil, craziness going on, you should bring in, and the peace that operates in your life should immediately start changing the atmosphere and that whole thing. And it'll work if you get a hold of it. You got to walk in the light of it, though. You got to know that you're a citizen of the kingdom, and Jesus has brought you out of that so you can now bring His peace into all that unstable, all crazy junk that's going on around you. Strife, division, crazy, worry, and all of a sudden you come in and you start releasing the peace of God in that place without even saying anything. Just your attitude, your trust in God, you're walking in your kingdom rights, and all of a sudden it's just flowing out of you and touching them. And all of a sudden, the thing starts getting better. Amen? Why? Because we're influencers of the kingdom of God. And then the third thing is what? The joy of the Holy Ghost. See, our joy doesn't come because of our setting, our surroundings, or our situation. Our joy comes from our walk with God. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You know what that means? That means we walk into a sad situation where people are struggling, and all of a sudden, that doesn't mean we go in there and go, "Yay!" But we come in with a different attitude. We don't come in there defeated. We don't come in there wondering what we're going to do. We come in there with a strength with us that begins to flow out of us to them, and it takes them out of their sadness and the doom and the gloom of the situation and brings them into a place where there's hope begins to rise up in them. Remember over in Nehemiah, whenever they got to reading about the temple, you know, they found the scrolls and they brought them out and they started talking to them, and the people go, "Oh God, we could have had all that. We've had all the junk. Oh God." And they started getting sad. And finally the priest stood up and said, "Wait a minute, this is not a day to be sad. No, no, no. Don't get sad because you're hearing the word. Don't get sad because you haven't had this. Don't get sad and don't let the devil defeat you when it should be a day of rejoicing. No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is a day to rejoice." And you see, here's the thing, folks. When we hear the word, there's two things that's going to happen. Either the kingdom of darkness is going to try to influence us with that word, or we're going to let the kingdom of God influence us with that word. Anyone, you can hear this entire message, and if you let the devil and his kingdom of darkness operate in you, right now you're sitting there just like those folks over in Nehemiah.
Oh, I could have had this, and my life has been a mess, and I've been wasted, oh God.
Or you can do what the priest said, and you can stand up and say, glory to God, I can have this. My days of darkness are over. My days of defeat are over. My days of being run over by the devil is over. My life has changed today, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, joy and strength begins to rise up, and you begin to have hope in your life. Hallelujah. Why? Because now you're releasing the power of God's kingdom to override the darkness of the devil's kingdom and bring you into the light of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Amen? So what are we going to do? We're going to come after Jesus. I'm pursuing him with passion. Number two, I'm going to hear his word and learn it and be a doer of it and learn how to imitate him in every situation of my life. And then number three, I'm going to be an influencer for God. Why? Because I'm going to live in my right standing with God. I'm going to live in peace. I'm going to bring God's joy and blessing everywhere I go. And I'm going to be a greater influence for God in that situation than they are for the devil. Amen? Amen.